Would you please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to continue on down this chapter and look at our next example of faith from Hebrews, chapter 11. And as you're turning there, the title of this message is Faith That Looked Beyond the Confusion. Faith That Looked Beyond the Confusion. I want to start with a little bit of a story this morning. I believe this is accurate. As I tried to research this the best I could, and two places I found it said it was accurate. So if it's not, I believe the lesson will come across as is. But there's a story about the state of Washington when it was a territory. Before it became a state, back in 1889, all the planning went in place as far as procedures, everything that needed to be done. Of course, they had to name the state. At the time, most people called it the Territory of Columbia or Columbia Territory because of the Columbia River that went through there. And so that's what most people recognized it as. Some called it the Washington Territory, but it was called both. Well, many of the legislators discussed the name of the state or the new name of the state. And several people and legislators, they liked the name Columbia, but they did not want to go with it simply because they believed that people would confuse it with the District of Columbia. So they didn't want it to go by Columbia. And so they had the good idea of calling it Washington because they didn't believe there'd be any confusion. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a child, for the longest time, Washington and Washington, D.C. were either the same or mixed up. I don't know if they produced more confusion or if they actually got rid of any confusion. You know, life in general, there are a lot of times where there is confusion spiritually. And even, I guess you'd say, as we live. This morning, we're going to see that confusion is something we often have to deal with. Whether it's brought about by our own actions because of our deeds, or simply by living here in this world, there are going to be times where we're confused as far as what to do, where to go, how God's going to work. And this morning, I hope to show you that we can have faith in God when we are confused, or in times of confusion, we can trust in God. You know, Isaac, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Isaac was nearing the end of his life. And he displayed faith in a time of confusion. And I believe his faith shone when his eyes were dim, he was older, and his life on earth was nearing its end. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 20. It says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Now that's it. That's all we find in Hebrews chapter 11. And some would look upon that and you know, if we're not careful, we can just go right by these next three verses just because they're very short, very nondescriptive. But you know, there's a lot of teaching when we begin to consider what actually occurred. How many of you ever driven through Texas or Kansas or even areas of Oklahoma and you see signs for a city that's coming up? Next thing you know, you see signs for another city and you pass that city. Some of those, I don't know if you call them city, they're towns or they're little villages. I don't think you call them villages anymore, but they're small towns. They're so small, they say you blink, you'll just go right by them. You know, if we're not careful, we can run by these next three verses and we can miss a lot of teaching. And so we're going to look at each one of these. This morning, we're going to talk about Isaac. Now, I believe part of the reason there was not a lot of description in this verse was probably due to the fact that the Jewish people, now this was a book written to the Hebrews. In other words, these were people that were saved, that were Jewish people, that had probably been raised in the Old Testament scriptures. They knew their Bibles. And I imagine there was no reason to get into too much detail because a lot of these people knew what was being referred to. They knew the story. Now for us this morning, some of you may already know what we're referring to and what's going to take place. But this morning, if not, we're going to go back and we're going to look at the events that transpired to cause this confusion and why Isaac would be put here in the chapter where we talk about faith. Let's have a word of prayer before we go on any further. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for this mention of Isaac. And as we look at his example this morning of faith, I pray that you'll challenge us and encourage us as we walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts from this passage. And if you have your Bibles, you can make your way over to Genesis chapter 27, because that's where we'll be here in a little bit. We're going to head over to Genesis chapter 27. But I want to talk first about the characters that were involved in this confusion. And here in a minute, I'm going to show you this confusion, why there was such a mess and why everyone was confused, especially Isaac, concerning the future. But let's talk about the characters involved. We have four characters outside of God. Of course, God was overseeing everything. But we have four characters. The first one is Isaac. He was, at this time, the patriarch of the family. And he was nearing the end of his life. Though he had lived the longest of all the patriarchs. Now we think of the patriarchs, we think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Do you realize Isaac lived the longest of those men? Yet there is less recorded of him. The other men have about 12 chapters dedicated to him, where Isaac gets maybe two, maybe three chapters. You know, if you ever go to a museum and you go from one exhibit to another, and you have several exhibits that have all types of information in there, then you get to one that there's hardly anything there. You're like, wow. That's what we have with Isaac. You have a man who we don't know a whole lot about. Now we know enough to understand his life, and we know enough to draw this conclusion of his life of faith. But there's not a whole lot there. His life really was not filled with the great events like his father Abraham had, or even his grandson Joseph. He didn't embark on any great adventures. And he really didn't face any incredible dangers. I mean, he battled with the Philistines back and forth. They filled his wells that he had dug. And the Bible tells us all he did is went and dug another well. And then they filled that well, and he'd go dig another well. And back and forth for several years until he went back into the land that God had for him. Apparently, he lived in peace for the most part. Didn't have a lot of struggles that some of the other men faced. And you know, I think sometimes we can learn from him because of that. You know, for some of us, the life of faith will consist of nothing more than being faithful to God on an everyday basis. That's it. You know, for some, there is no great, I guess, say battles or adventures that God has planned for them. It's just being faithful Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then Sunday again, Monday, Tuesday, and so forth. Sometimes that's difficult, though. You know, you get into the monotony of things. And you can struggle with faith. You see, Isaac, I believed, loved the Lord. And he just lived life. Now, secondly, we have Rebekah. Now, that's his wife. And we're going to see more about her. She played a great role in the surrounding of the blessing of her two children, Esau and Jacob. I believe she was a proud woman from the passages. She was also smart and extremely ambitious. Now, there's nothing wrong necessarily with those three. But the combination, if you're not careful, can lead to some problems. She knew God's promise concerning Esau and Jacob. Genesis 25. I want to read that promise to you. Genesis 25. And if you'll notice there, Genesis 25, verse 23. It says there, "And the Lord said unto her," this is Rebekah, "two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other." And then notice what it says, "And the elder shall serve the younger." You know, she knew this promise. God had given it to her. I'm sure she shared it with Isaac. I'm sure she shared it with Isaac. And I imagine that he knew very well that God had told this to her. And she believed this. I really believe that she had faith in this promise. She believed it, that Jacob would be the one who would be blessed. Almost to the point where I think she favored Jacob. That's what we find in the scripture. She favored him. And as we'll see, she struggled to put her faith in God. And instead, she tried to help this prophecy along. You know, we can never do good when we try to help God out. She tried to help the prophecy along, and as we'll see here in a little bit, created more confusion than anything else. Then we have Esau. He's the eldest. And probably the favorite of his father. The eldest and probably the favorite of his father. But here's the problem with Esau. Bible tells us that he lived to gratify his flesh. You know what? This man loved the world, and he loved the things of the world, and he lived for the things of the world to the point where he disregarded the things of God. He kind of set them aside. They were no big deal to him. He wanted to please himself, and he wanted to enjoy life. Bible tells us he also married idolatrous wives. He knew better, went out and did it anyway, and he had no respect or regard for the things of God, including the blessing and the birthright. Then we come to Jacob. He's the youngest, and obviously the mother's favorite. You're probably beginning to see where the confusion is going to start to come in. I mean, you got one son who's the dad's favorite, another son who's the mother's favorite. Everything's about ready to explode here in this family. You have Jacob, the youngest, the mother's favorite. Now, he desired God's blessings. There's no doubt. This man loved God. He wanted to be blessed by God. He wanted to serve the Lord. But at times, he allowed his flesh to dictate his decisions. See, he was a man who had the correct motives, but his actions did not always display that. You see, sometimes he would go overboard and get himself into trouble because he wanted the promise so bad. And that's what we're going to find with Jacob. So we have the characters involved. Now, let's consider the circumstance this morning that produced this confusion. See, this morning we're going to see where Isaac, we're going to build this up and see the faith that was required from Isaac. So let's get to the circumstance that produced this confusion. Genesis chapter 27. And I'm not going to read this entire passage. I'll just read verses here and there for us to get an understanding of what took place. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. He said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow. Go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it." So we have here, five verses here, we have the beginning of this situation that's about ready to escalate out of control and produce confusion in Isaac's life. It begins with Isaac calling Esau in, evidently to bless him. I could just see Isaac loves Esau, cares for Esau. He knows the prophecy concerning Jacob. Now, two thoughts come to mind here for me. Either he purposely was going to bless Esau anyway, because he just was determined that Esau received the blessing. Or secondly, he just was not sure that this prophecy concerned the birthright. And he wanted to go ahead and, I guess you say, keep the tradition. You know, if we're not careful, tradition can hinder faith. We get caught up in tradition and tradition, doing things this way. You know, sometimes you ask church members, why you do that? Well, because we've always done that. You see, tradition can cause us to lose our faith or to hinder our faith sometimes. Anyway, we find here that he calls him in. You see the blessing, and I want to explain this real quick. This blessing that he was about ready to pronounce upon his two children was more than an elderly father wishing the best for his kids as he was about ready to leave this life. These blessings were twofold. First, there was prayer on their behalf. There was prayer offered up to God on behalf of the children. And secondly, not only in this case, but also as we see with Jacob in the Old Testament, there was some prediction based upon knowledge from God. Isaac was going to prophesy a little bit, not from his knowledge, but from knowledge that God had shared with him. So Isaac must have known. He must have known the prophecy concerning Esau and Jacob, and evidently just chose to ignore it. He brought in Esau. Bible tells us, what's he say? He said, Esau, come here. I could just see him whispering. Come here, how about you go out and get that venison? Go out and catch some of that meat, bring it in, prepare it for me. And guess what? I'll bless you. We find two passages in the Old Testament that the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau. And you know what's interesting? In both those passages, there's a connection to food. I believe that Isaac loved Esau because Esau took care of him. I really believe that. He brought him meals, provided for him, and took care of him. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking care of our parents. I think we should take care of our parents. As they get older, we should do our best to help them out and take care of them. But you see, this morning, Isaac, I believed, probably overlooked Esau's sinful living, his sinful habits, in order to bless him because of the, I guess you say, comforts that he provided Isaac. You know, there's nothing wrong with loving our children. Parents, there's nothing wrong with loving your children and helping them out the best you can. But you know what? You also have to recognize actions. Believe it or not, our children are not perfect. And as they get older, they may make some mistakes. Now, we love them, encourage them. But you know what? Don't compromise because of your children. You take that stand of faith. Actually, I believe your children will probably respect it, and it'll be more of a blessing to them in the long run if you're faithful to God. If they make mistakes. Now, that's not saying they will. That's just saying if. Now, with Esau, he lived for the world, lived for the flesh. And apparently, Isaac never said anything or didn't mind. He was going to bless him or intended to bless him anyway. You know, if we're not careful, affections can cloud our understanding and they can hinder our faith. Our love for either the world or for people can hinder our faith for God because we are so tied up with our love. You know, there are a lot of pastors that have lost their ministry because of this. They fail to separate actions from the sinful, you know, from their children. And so we need to be careful of that. Isaac and Esau met privately. I can see them getting together. Come on in, Esau. Esau comes in. Maybe he whispers. He says, how about you go get that for me? And guess what? I'll bestow this blessing upon you. You know what they didn't count on? They didn't count on Rebekah hearing the conversation. Now that's a big oops. Here they are. They're getting ready to bestow this blessing upon Esau. And guess what happens? Rebekah hears. She hears the conversation. She hears the plan. And I tell you what, she springs to action. Notice what it says here in Genesis 27 and verse 6 says, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison, make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord. He says, before the Lord, before my death. Now, we have these two men in here. Isaac talking to Esau, shares with him what's going on, and Esau leaves that tent and walks on out. And I don't know if Rebekah was sitting outside the tent or if it was a large tent and she was in another section. Anyway, the Bible tells us she overheard. And I don't believe she calmly walked over to Jacob. I believe she found him as quick as she possibly could. Now, keep in mind, he's going out to get this food. He's going to make it. There was a sense of urgency. If she'd have had an iPhone, she'd have pulled it out, she'd have texted him and said, get over here now, we got a problem. You got to get this taken care of. Anyway, she found Jacob. She said, guess what? Guess what? Your fathers are about ready to give Esau the blessing, and this is a blessing that God says that you deserve and that you're going to have. Now, here's what should have happened. You know, should have is a word that we use a lot. Here's what should have happened. They should have fallen down on their knees to God in prayer and lived by faith. God would have worked things out. Instead, the Bible tells us that Rebekah hatched a plan. I tell you, she was smart and she was ambitious. There was no way Esau was going to receive this blessing over Jacob, and she was going to make sure. And the Bible says that she hatched a plan. She talked to Jacob. I'm not going to read that entire passage there, but you'll find that she had Jacob not only come and she made some, the Bible tells us that Esau was a hairy individual, had hair all over his arms. Isaac was blind, he could not see, so the Bible tells us that she had Jacob put on these like skins and had hair on his arms. And he even wore Esau's clothes, so that way he would smell like Esau when he went in unto his father. And then she prepared a meal. Now she knew her husband, she knew what he liked. She prepared a meal that probably resembled the meal that Esau would make. And then the Bible tells us that Jacob went before his dad, and I'll tell you what he did. He acted his heart out. You know, if there would have been awards back then for acting, he would have won one. He walked in there, and he acted before his dad. He acted as Esau. He brought the food. His dad even touched him and felt him and probably smelled him, because remember, he's going blind. He can't see. And he concluded that it was Esau. And so the Bible tells us that Isaac prayed over Jacob and predicted his future, and gave him the blessing. Now, this was done. Keep this in mind. This was done believing it was Esau. Isaac was fooled at this time. He thought this was Esau standing before him or kneeling before him as he's beginning to bless him. Now, some will say, well, what's the big deal of this covenant? What's the big deal of this blessing? Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 28. I'll show you in verse 1. Excuse me, I got ahead of myself here. Wrong passage there. Genesis 27. Anyway, I got the wrong passage. I'll maybe come back to that in a minute. Anyway, what happened is Isaac blessed his children. And I want to find that. Okay, there it is. Verse 4 of Genesis 28. It says, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mightest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Okay. Now that I've got my bearings straight, basically the covenant or the blessing that was pronounced on Jacob, that Isaac thought he was giving to Esau, was basically the blessing that was given to Abraham. Now that consisted of the land that God had promised to the people of Israel. That also consisted of the fact that they would be a great nation. And then thirdly, the spiritual blessing included the Messiah. You see, that's why it was important to these people. Because they, by faith, believed Jesus Christ was coming. And so if Jacob received this blessing, that meant not only would he be blessed, but his family would be blessed. And all those that would come after him would be blessed as well. You see, it consisted of temporal blessings as well as spiritual blessings. You see, God would be his God, and the Messiah would come from his line. You know, Jesus Christ was the one who, of course, who blessed the world with his presence, blessed the world with his death, burial, and resurrection, you know, his atonement for sin so we can be saved, and eventually he's going to bless the world with his kingdom when he returns to earth. You see, that's what this promise involved. And Isaac intended for Esau to receive this promise. Jacob snuck in there. I guess you could say snuck in there. He was ornery. He was. You read the passages of Jacob. I mean, he was full of fire. He was full speed ahead. So he sneaks in there and he receives this blessing. And you know what happens? He splits. I mean, he's got the blessing now and he's gone. And here comes Esau. Now some would say, oh, poor Esau. At first you might think poor Esau, but I don't think Esau really cared about God. I think he cared about the blessings. You know, he's like a lot of people in our world today. He didn't want to live for God. He had no interest in walking with God. But I tell you what, he wanted all the blessings God would give him. And so here comes Esau walking in. Jacob's gone. Isaac's probably, you know, comfortable thinking, okay, you know, everything's worked out the way I thought it would work out, and Esau has received the blessing. And then Esau stands before his father. We find that in Genesis chapter 27. And notice it says there in verse 30, came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? He said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. You see, it was finished. It was done. And Esau comes in, and the rest of the passage tells us there that he began to weep bitterly. Began to cry and to weep because he missed this blessing that all of a sudden, I believe he wanted it dearly. Like I said, I believe he wanted the good things from God, but did not necessarily want to walk with God. And so Esau comes in, and now he's upset. He's angry. He's crying before his father. And you know what? Isaac said, I can't do nothing about it, son. It's finished. I've given that blessing to Jacob. And then he turns around and he blesses Esau. But the blessing he gives Esau is different. It didn't include the spiritual blessings. It was a physical blessing. Yes, he would be blessed physically. He'd receive land. His people would be blessed. But he didn't have the same blessings that were coming to Isaac. Now, here this morning, think about this. And this is where we're going to get to the faith real quick. Talk about confusion. Let's just consider this for a moment. Isaac had been deceived. Now, nothing will get your blood boiling like deception. To be deceived, to be taken, to be had, is frustrating. How many of you have ever been deceived? It is. It's frustrating. When you realize you'd been taken, whether it's in a business dealing or whether it's someone telling you something and you realize that they had lied to you on purpose to try to get take advantage of you. Deception is terrible. And there's nothing to get you angry like deception. I often thought about Isaac. I imagine he was probably a little bit perturbed with Jacob for the way things transpired. See, he mistakenly blessed Jacob in place of Esau. And the Bible says he trembled. He became troubled because of this. Now, think about Rebekah now. We're coming back to our characters. The Bible says she meddled in this problem. I tell you, she did her best to ensure Jacob received this blessing. And she went overboard, did her best, and Jacob was blessed. She was successful, so to speak, but at what cost? I'm sure her husband was a little bit upset. Not to speak of her children now, who were against each other. I mean, they were pitted against each other from this point on. Bible says Esau was filled with hatred. And you know what he vowed to do? He vowed to kill Jacob. Plain and simple. He was so mad, he was going to kill him, remove him from this world. How about Jacob? Well, he was gone. I mean, he split. He knew better. Esau was the tough, big hunter. He didn't want to face Esau. So after he got the blessing, the Bible says he ran, made himself scarce. And you know what? He wouldn't show himself in the area for another 20 years. He was gone. The family had split. There was confusion and chaos involved. Now let's talk about faith. You know, here you may wonder, where can faith be found in a story like this? Where can faith be found in this type of confusion and all this, I could say, problems and troubles within a family? Let's talk about the confidence now of Isaac in the midst of confusion. Here's our last thought for you this morning. Confidence in the midst of confusion. First, I want you to recognize that Isaac had faith. He always had faith in the Lord's promise. He always did. See, he believed the promise was given to Abraham, and he believed it was valid, and he had faith in God's word. Almost to the point, when you read the scriptures, you never really find where he doubted that. He had faith. Maybe it goes back to the day when he was 33 years old, and his father took him up on that mountain to sacrifice him because God had commanded him. And there at the last minute, God stopped him. Perhaps that strengthened his faith in God's word. And so he never doubted the word of God. I mean, when you think about it, when he gave the blessing or when he pronounced the blessing upon Esau, or Jacob, thinking it was Esau, he did it by faith. He truly believed that the promise would come true. Now, as far as his lifetime, not much had changed concerning his life and Abraham's life. Neither of them owned the land. Isaac had enough land not only to live on and to be buried on, but that's about it. How about with his children? You know, when Isaac pronounced this blessing, I imagine he's thinking of his children now. He's got Esau and Jacob. Esau was a proud man with no concern for God. Now he was even worse. I mean, he was boiling with wrath. He was angry at Jacob and he had vowed to kill him, filled with bitterness. Where's the hope in that? How about Jacob? Jacob was ornery. He was a rascal, so to speak, and he was gone. Isaac didn't know where he was. I imagine he found out later that he had ran down to his family, or to Rebekah's family, and that's where he would live for the next 20 years and until he would come back. But you know, he had the right motives, wrong actions, and he had fled the scene. You know, humanly speaking, there really was no reason for Isaac to have faith in God's word outside of faith. Just trusting that God said he would bring it to pass. And so that's what he did. He believed God. And he believed, and here I want you to notice something, he believed even though the promise was not given to him directly. Keep in mind, this was given to Abraham. This is the first of all the Old Testament saints concerning this promise that had to go by faith completely. Now think about this. Abraham received the promise directly from God. Isaac and the others would receive it. They'd know about all the details, but they'd received it either passing down from Abraham or from family, or you know, I believe it was kept pure, but they didn't receive it directly from God. They had to go by faith. You know, the Lord did not appear to each of them as he did Abraham, and so they had to wait upon God. You know, today, that's the problem we have today with many people. Many are interested in spiritual teaching that is direct. What I mean by that is many people don't want to read the Bible. They think that's old-fashioned, outdated. They want new teachings. They're looking for God to come and give them some grand new teachings is what they want. And they believe God will speak to them. And they believe God will share His will with them. And God will tell them all these things. This morning, I'm going to tell you this, God does not work in that fashion. You know, there are some that will come and say, you know what? God has spoken to me. God has told me this. Me and God are buddies or talking like that. And then they'll say, I'm going to share what God has told me. I'll share it with you. Now, I say share because to get it, you have to either buy their book or their Bible study. They don't share it with you. They give it to you if you pay for it, basically, is what happens. They say, I'll share it with you. If you sign up or buy my book or take my Bible study, then I'll share with you what God has delivered to me. Many of these people just simply enjoy the money that others throw at them. That's the whole purpose for a lot of them. They're going to continue to write and produce these things if people are going to pay for it. It provides a living. There are some who have new teachings, but I will give you this warning. The devil can provide teachings. Beware of anyone that comes and says, I have something new. If you can't find it in this Bible, then guess what? Set it aside. Ignore it and move on. Because if it's not in God's Word, then it's not from God. You see, this morning we have God's revealed Word. We need to go to it and trust it. You know, Isaac did not receive a new promise. He wasn't given nothing new. He had the same promise that God gave to Abraham, and he simply believed it. You see, it was sufficient for him. He didn't have to have anything new. He just trusted in what God had already given. This morning, I tell you what, God's Word is sufficient. I don't believe we need anything new. We just need to read this and put our faith in what God has to say in here. You know, Isaac's actions were misplaced. They were. He had some misplaced actions. But his faith in God's promise was good. It was sound, and he trusted. Now let's look at his faith in the Lord's power. Because see, here's where it comes down to. Isaac struggled with the situation because he knew that Jacob had received the blessing. He intended for Esau to have it. Jacob had stepped in, received it. Things did not go as planned, or at least as he hoped they would. I believe, you know, in studying this out, that we could probably apply more of this lesson here than in many of the others. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of my life doesn't go as I plan it. I look back at my life, and actually a majority of it did not go as I thought it would go, or as I planned it would go, or even as I may have wanted it to go. Either God stepped in, or God allowed something to transpire which moved me in another direction or took me another way. And even as we live life in general, things will not always work out as we think they will. That's what happened to Isaac. It didn't go the way he planned. Didn't go the way he wanted. But he understood that God allowed it to happen. You see, that's what's important here. He understood that God worked. This morning, God may allow something into your life that you didn't plan on. You need to understand that God allowed it to come into your life. That God allowed it to transpire. Now, if it's something of your own effect, what I mean by that is kind of like Isaac. Isaac kind of messed things up with the way he handled the situation. But God allowed him to mess those things up. And God, as we'll see, was still going to work in his life. I believe that's why Isaac trembled. The Bible says he trembled when he realized that Jacob had received the blessing instead of Esau. I believe he trembled because he understood God was in control. Think about this. He knew the prophecy concerning Jacob, and he did his best to give Esau the blessing. And what happened? God didn't allow it to transpire. God did not allow his plan to go forward. In spite of his personal affections and his planning, Jacob received the blessing. You know, the Lord's promise and his word remained, and they were carried out differently than Isaac expected. You see, that's how God often works. He allows us to make decisions. He allows us to move. And in the process, he'll carry out his plan for our life. And he may carry it out differently than we expect. You see, that's where faith gets involved. You know what Isaac did not do? He did not become angered or irate. He could have thrown a temper tantrum. He could have. I've seen adults do that. We just think children do that. I've seen adults throw temper tantrums. He may not throw things. He may just get frustrated and throw looks instead of toys. But he didn't throw a temper tantrum. He didn't get mad because he didn't get his way. Also, there was no vengeance plan. That's what Esau did. Esau planned vengeance. He was mad. He hated Isaac and he was going to, or Jacob, and he was going to pay him back. Isaac did not plan vengeance. And if you'll also notice, there was no discouragement involved. And Isaac just didn't sit down and I guess you say wallow in dejection. Instead, Isaac, I believe, resigned his will to God. And he trusted God with the matter. Notice in Genesis 27, notice in verse 33, he says there, "And when Esau heard the words," "and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." And notice what Esau says. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father." Verse 35, and he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away," he says, "thy blessing." You see, he understood. He understood that it was finished. And he verified that the blessing now belonged to Jacob. You know what Isaac did not do? He did not attempt to go back and resend that blessing. He didn't attempt to try to alter God's plan. Perhaps he was angered at being deceived. He could have been angered at being deceived. Perhaps he was a little bit sad because Esau did not receive the blessing that he wanted Esau to receive. But instead of being overcome with bitterness and hatred, or vengeance. You know what he did? He trusted God. He verified. He said, it's Jacob's. And then he just trusted God. That's all he could do. And you know what? By faith, he overcame his personal feelings. This morning, our affections, as I've mentioned before, our affections can hinder our faith. There are times we have to go by faith and trust that God will lead and that God will direct. Also by faith, you know what he did? He yielded to God's will and to God's direction. That's what we find next. You know, faith rejects our fleshly desires. By faith, he believed God would work things out. That's all he could do. You know, he believed that God would now take care of things. It was settled. It was finished. It was in God's hands. You know, this is faith for the unknown. And faith that looks beyond confusion. You see, God observed all of the events that took place that morning or that day. God didn't miss anything. He was overseeing all of this. God can never be frustrated by our actions or even our inactions. He can't be frustrated by us. And Isaac found himself in the middle of a mess. I mean, all sorts of things could have come from this. But the Lord was never confused. This morning, let's take that to heart. Even though there was confusion for Isaac and his family, the Lord was not confused. And so instead of being discouraged, Isaac trusted God and continued. You see, this morning, whatever, if there's a trial or anything comes into your life that may cause some confusion or discouragement, understand God is not overcome. He is not confused. Put your faith in Him and trust in Him to work. You know, faith like this is required for salvation. It is. Because our sinful nature has placed us in a mess of confusion. Think about sin for a minute. Because we are sinners, we have no hope, really, for life. I mean, we can live life, but that's about it. Because of our sinful condition, we'll stand before God and give an account for our sin. And because of this, there are a multitude of questions for sinners. Who am I? Why am I? Where am I going? What is life all about? That's why I believe people are searching spiritually for answers. You realize God provides those answers. He provides those answers. He says, I created you. I made you. You have a sinful nature. Yes. I have provided a Savior so you can be forgiven of your sin. You see, Jesus died on the cross for our sin and He provides salvation for sinners. The Bible teaches simply repent and believe and you shall be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ to overcome confusion of sin. Now, afterwards, faith is needed as we live. I think about Isaac here for a moment, and we're going to wrap this up here this morning. I think about Isaac. You know, the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you walk into a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, if you get online, got a fly going here, you get online and you look through, maybe a Christian distributor that sells books, you know what you're going to find? There are an awful lot of books out there today on finding the will of God or knowing how to find the will of God. And some have catchy titles and phrases and so forth. Some come with pictures and some are real elaborate. I have found a majority of these are not worth the paper they're printed on. Now, there are some good ones out there. There are. But a majority leads you in a different direction. Some lead after mysticism. Some lead after looking within and so forth. I'm going to give you three thoughts in closing this morning. And I believe these three apply to Isaac and they can apply to you. First, wherever God gives a command, there must be obedience. Just plain and simple. We have the Bible. God has given us His revealed will. You know, there are a lot of people who say, I want to know the will of God. Well, if you really want to know the will of God, how about you read the Bible? Do you realize even our children here this morning can know God's will by reading the Bible? They know what God has revealed to mankind. Not only man's condition, but also God's desire for them. You see, we can know the will of God. It's not about how we feel. It's not about what we want. It's about what God has said. So, when God gives a command, there needs to be obedience. Secondly, when there is no direct command. You know, a lot of times we have to make a decision, and you can say, well, you know, I can't find that direct command in the Bible. Maybe you're looking to take a different job or a different position at work and you're wondering if you should move forward or not. And you say, well, you know, obviously the position I'm looking for, there's no mention of that in the Bible. Where there is no direct command, I believe God gives us freedom to make a responsible decision. But it must be based upon God's Word. This is where Isaac stumbled the first time. You see, he knew he was not given a direct command. God did not come to him and say, give the blessing to Jacob. But God had given the prophecy that Jacob would be the one to receive the blessing, the one that would inherit that blessing and go forward. But what Isaac did is he chose to give it to Esau anyway. You see, when God has not given us a direct command, we have the responsibility to make a correct decision based upon God's word. And I believe, you know, the Bible talks about wisdom. This is where God will give us wisdom. That's why we need to read the Bible, study the Bible. So when we come to making a decision, whether it's taking a job or moving to another state or whatever direction God may have for you, that you're making it with an understanding of God's word. Now, you say you read the Bible, you're going to make your decision. You read the Bible and you look and say, you know, there's nothing wrong with the decision I'm going to make, or there's nothing wrong with the direction I'm going. I'm not doing anything contrary to God's commands. I'm not doing anything immoral. Then you know what God has given you? He's given you the choice. You can go and make that decision if you should choose to, or you don't have to. You see, God gives us freedom to make some decisions. He doesn't demand everything right there. That's part of living in this time of grace, that God gives us those choices. So the decision now must be made. I'll give you one more thought on the decision. If there are any doubts, I encourage you to delay or don't make the decision. You see, if there's doubts there, there's probably a reason why there's doubts. God may be, directing you through your doubts and that just being unsure. It's best to wait. You know, in the book of Romans, it tells us that we need to be confident in the direction we're going. So be confident in your decisions. Now, here's where faith comes in. After the decision has been made, you know, you make your decision. How many of you have made a decision before? And then a little bit later, you look and say, I don't know if that was the right decision. Now, if you go through the process and you make this decision like this, as far as based on God's word, understanding what the Bible has to say, knowing you have the responsibility and you examine it and then you make your decision, then you walk by faith. You see, Romans 8:28. I'm going to close with this. Turn them, if you would, to Romans 8:28. This is where this teaching comes, it becomes practical for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says there, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You see, after you make your decision, you live by faith, believing that God will work all things out for your good. That's what Isaac did in the end. Now, he didn't begin correctly. He kind of stumbled a little bit. In the end, you know what he did? He resigned his will to God and said, God, I trust you in the matter. He didn't know how things would play out. He didn't know what would happen between his sons. He didn't know when the promise would be given. But as we know in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith he blessed him. And then he left it with God. You know, this morning, there are times where you have to do that, where you're just overcome with a situation. You got to walk with God, live for God, and then just leave it with God and trust Him. See, this is difficult. It's easy to preach it, and it's easy to teach it, and it's easy to listen to it and say, yeah, I agree. But sometimes it's hard to practice this. This is where we just say, God, I trust you. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to let it ruin my life because I get so concerned over it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith that you can work this out. And I'm going to have faith that you will take us through or take me through this situation. You know, that's the faith Isaac had. And it was faith that took him beyond confusion. And you know what happened eventually in the story? God blessed him. God worked it all out. You see, God didn't let him down. Everything worked out according to God's plan. You see, faith in God. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for this passage. I pray today as we consider Isaac and his family, I pray that we will put our faith in you and we'll trust you in each and every situation that you allow to come into our life. Please bless